This interview is part of a thought leadership study created by KPMG in collaboration with FT Longitude.
Today's global trade flows and supply chains are increasingly fragmented. Companies need to be flexible and fleet-footed if they're to withstand unpredictable shocks. Supply chain resilience is already proving to be a rate-determining factor. It is forcing leaders to carefully consider the balance and trade-offs between cost, risk, and agility. I'm Sean Kearns, Director of Strategy at FT Longitude, and in this series, we consider the how and the why of strategic shoring and the critical factors that determine its long-term success. In this episode, we take a close-up look at the benefits of onshoring. Joining me is Mike Zellkind, CEO at 80 Acres Farms, and Tisha Livingston, CEO Infinite Acres and President of 80 Acres Farms. Mike, Tisha, thank you so much for taking your time and joining me today. The story of your business is both fascinating, interesting, powerful. We're here today to talk about a few things. One of them is your ambition, I suppose, as you put it, Tisha, to collapse the traditional supply chain, which is a hugely bold ambition. Question to both of you, really. How have you gone about it and how successful have you been?
We talk a lot about revolutionizing the way the world farms and eats. Today's supply chain, the biggest issue that it has in perishable fresh produce is that it has 15 to 17 steps to get the product from field, to clean it, to process it, to repackage it, to transfer it through multiple steps in the process. And the problem is that a lot of those steps are really not value added. They are, in fact, often destructive because they provide an opportunity to break the cold chain in this supply chain, which on one hand is way too many touches. It is way over optimized, and it's way over optimized for one variable. Consumers today want fresh, high quality, nutritious product, not just calories. And to do that, you need to produce product closer to the point of consumption, and you can truly take out all of these inefficient steps. The goal is not, if you think of every step in a supply chain as a silo, the goal is not to fix the interaction in a gap between those silos, but to truly eliminate non-value-added steps and components. And you can take that 17-step global supply chain for highly perishable produce and literally collapse that supply chain into two or three steps. Our farm is not only a farm, it's a farm, it's a processing facility, it's a cleaning facility, it's a packaging facility, it's a distribution facility, and it is usually located very close to the final customer distribution facility because the last mile is highly efficient in the perishable supply chain. It's getting product from the farm to the last mile that is highly inefficient. And that's where we add tremendous value with our business process.
What's that physically meant in terms of where you are in different parts of the country? And what's the plan longer term? Where else could you be in the future?
Yeah, so you know, when we first started out, we are based in Cincinnati, Ohio. And we built our first facilities next to Kroger Distribution. Kroger is our largest customer, next to their distribution centers in Cincinnati. And then we began expanding near population centers east of the Mississippi. So if you think about the U.S., the geography of the U.S., right now we started expanding from a central point in Cincinnati outward. So we went north all the way to Michigan. We went all the way east to the Atlantic near DC and all the way down the coast to Florida. And then we went all the way across to the Mississippi River. When we think about where we could go, we can grow anywhere. We have the technical capability to be able to create the climate that we need, regardless of where we are. And so we're starting in the US. We're looking to move further west and move further south. And then once we have the US population handled, you know, there's no reason that we wouldn't go to Canada. There's no reason why we wouldn't go to Europe. We currently have locations for research and development and our technical teams in the Netherlands. We're also in Israel. And then we also have our US operations. So when we think about the technology can be applied anywhere. And the technology that we have not only can be applied anywhere, but it also has many different applications beyond leafy greens and salads. So we're currently growing salads, we're growing culinary herbs, microgreens, tomatoes, we've grown cucumbers, we've grown a variety of other plants. But this application works across any biological product. So if you think about other types of plants, if you think about medicinal plants, you know, the beauty of our technology is that we can stress the plants. We can get the most out of the plants and create that perfect day every day, regardless of location. So we can adapt our product offerings and what we can do with the technology based on the local flavors, based on what the requirements or the needs are for the communities.
You know, the need for this vertical farming technology and local production, more localized production for highly perishable goods, is global. The need is global, but it's different in every region for a different reason. It's incredibly important to different regions for a different reason. For example, Middle East needs it, the GIC countries, for instance, and a variety of other Middle East locations because of water scarcity. We've had day zero in South Africa, almost day zero several times on water issues. There's a different need for different reasons. Europe, with the sustainability needs that are driven, the laws on packaging and a variety of other factors. What's the purpose of packaging? Why do we have islands of plastic swimming in our oceans today? It's primarily because we have moved to these global supply chains and we have to protect the product to ship it all over the world. When you think about the total most optimal supply chain for highly perishable goods, the goal is for the consumer to get the highest quality, freshest product at the right cost, for the farmer to make some money, and for the customer, in this case, a retailer, a food service provider, whoever else, to have a reasonable margin, a higher margin they have today, which is determined by higher churns of this phenomenal product and lower waste. That's what we have to deliver with the new supply chains. And the best way to do it is to collapse it, to localize it, to take the inefficiency out of it. And that is a global opportunity, not a US opportunity.
And that global opportunity, which you've just articulated, Mike, when you're making your decisions, whether it's in the US or elsewhere, you've mentioned already around consumer choice, the last mile. So these drivers really, really important for your business, but there are other factors too, right? Talent, energy, you've just mentioned them. How difficult has it been or is it for you to balance these different factors when you're thinking about locations? Because how you go about that balancing act is applicable to other businesses as well.
When I look at global locations, we have some core tenets which are really important to us. The core tenets are that we're leaving this earth in a better place and that we choose clean, renewable energy, that we are reducing greenhouse gas emissions. So when you think about the sustainability metrics we have, those are tenets that we're unwavering on. And we believe that there are solutions. Even if you go into a community and the solution isn't apparent today, working with the community and being able to drive toward that improvement is something really important to us. So your flavors are going to change, the products are going to change, there's going to be rules and regulations around different communities, and there will be things that change. But the core tenets around sustainability and around the impact that we're making to the earth and the impact that we're making to all of our associates, you know, when we think about the culture of our company and the ethos of who we are, we want to be able to have a place where people can be proud of working there. And so those are the types of things that we are unwavering on. And then there's other things that, you know, you look to what are the common cultures and you're gonna make modifications. You know, so there's some key tenets there. So when you think about location and why it is that we would select a place, it's because it's needed everywhere. right? And so why would I go beat my head against the wall going into some place that doesn't want me or doesn't have the right energy profile or isn't willing to work with me to be able to get to the right energy profile, right? Because you might go into a community that really feels like, you know, when we think about Hamilton, Ohio, when we started, it's a perfect example. So Hamilton, Ohio was a community that had high unemployment. They had crime. They had drug issues. They had a lot of buildings where they were trying to rehabilitate and revitalize the community and really drive improvement. They came to us and they said, "We want you in Hamilton. We want to be able to help you build your business up, and we need you in Hamilton. We have renewable energy. We have a population that is looking to be able to have work. We're looking to diversify the types of companies and jobs that are being offered." And so there was a reason why we chose Hamilton as our corporate office and why we chose to stay there. It's because we were wanted there. And we were needed, and we felt like we could really make an impact in the community. When you can make an impact in the community and you can have compelling jobs where people feel like they are really making a difference and they're tied to goals and objectives, and they feel like that their talents are really being utilized and they're being pushed to be better people and to really make an impact in the community, you can find plenty of people that are very willing to do that. We have 350 of them in our company today. But the challenge is that we're building an industry. And so there is no playbook. There is no job description. There is no training programs. You know, so you have to find people with grit and tenacity and curiosity. And if you can find people that are willing to learn and have all those qualities and really want to make a difference, then together we can train.
Do you think too many companies, we hear a lot about whether it's friendshoring, onshoring, nearshoring, do you think too many companies still relocate their operations or their facilities for short-term financial gain, as opposed to choosing a location based on some of what you've outlined, which is the tenets of your business, the philosophy of your business, and the very purpose of your business? Do you think there's still too much for a short-term mentality when it comes to locating facilities?
The answer is it depends. An organization is a living organism, right? A company is a living organism. What is right for a company today might not be right for the company tomorrow. So sometimes it's okay to shake things up. Sometimes that could be a management tool to upset the apple cart, so to speak, get people to think differently, get folks out of comfort zone, and you can offshore and then you can onshore and go back and forth. I can see reasons for centralization, decentralization, offshore and onshore. And as the corporation evolves and continues to grow, as a living organism, different solutions are proper at different times based on geopolitical changes and other things. Having said that, that can often be used as an excuse by incompetence and short-term thinking, and I'll let Tisha talk about that.
Yeah, so honestly, you know, Mike is a disruptor in our company, and he's the one that likes to, you know, throw everything in the ring and then see what happens. And I'm the firm believer in being able to drive consistency, continuity, and being able to have control over your processes. So for me, onshoring and bringing the jobs back, being able to control the quality, being able to control your brand. You know, I think that it's a bit disingenuous, honestly, to not look at the total cost. And I think that's what a lot of companies missed, is what is a true total cost when you're offshoring jobs because you think that, or manufacturing because you think that it's going to save you a bunch of money. And what they realize, that what you sacrifice in all of those intangibles, plus, you know, the transportation, the quality issues, having to right size and correct the problems, you're often not really saving the money. And then that's when they bring the jobs back. So I am a huge fan of local production, being able to control your supply chain, control your production, control the quality, and control the brand.
Yeah, resilient supply chains are not just a buzzword, right? to support what Tisha is saying. COVID has proven that. When you look at the true total cost of something, it is not just purchase price. It is not just labor costs somewhere else. It is the holistic nature of your total business model. And you're giving a lot up by not thinking about it that way, by looking at just some part of the solution. And the problem is when you make decisions within a silo, within the function, rather than holistically, you end up giving up a lot. You might not realize it right away, and you might not pay for it right away. It might take 3, 4, 5 years for that to come out. But that's a very, very expensive lesson, silo decision making, so that one executive looks a little better and gets bonused rather than what is best for the whole.
Well, Mike, you promised to say how it is, and you did, and thank you for doing so. Tisha, thank you also for your time. Fascinating discovery about your business, about your approach to supply chain, but about much more than that in terms of culture and leadership and vision as well. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
This interview is part of a thought leadership study created by KPMG in collaboration with FT Longitude.